It's good to be back. It's good to be back, isn't it, for the first Saturday in 2007. And the Lord was putting in my heart a scripture. Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Now I do a new thing. Holy Spirit, I pray whatever I share tonight, Lord, you'll anoint, and that every word will come straight from heaven tonight to touch every person here tonight. And I believe later on the night, the Lord wants us to have an opportunity for some prayer time. And I believe there's an area particularly that God wants us to pray for. It's the area of healing of emotions. And often it's our emotions that get in the way of us fulfilling God's destiny for our life. And that's the very message I want to preach tonight about making your life count in 2007. See, the simple fact is every one of you, no matter how flawed you think you are, no matter how many mistakes you've made in the game of life thus far, God has an awesome plan for your life. And I want to tell you tonight, it wants to begin it tonight. For he says, I know the thoughts that I think towards you. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give your future and to give your hope. See, the thing is, we are all very unique beings. And often we try and operate under someone else's formula. We think this is what you need to do to be a success, even in the things of God. But the fact is, you are uniquely you, and God wired you up for that very reason, because you have a plan and a purpose this life that no one else can do. You are a one-off model. Isn't that great? How precious are the thoughts that God thinks towards each and every one of them. The fact is, the moment we give our life to Jesus Christ, we are a new creation. It says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. All things have become new. We got to make sure that our past mistake, our past baggage, doesn't rob us of what God has from this very day on. And I pray that today, by the end of tonight, you will walk out of here knowing that God has an awesome plan for your life. See, when we become a child of God, God forgives us. No more shame, no more condemnation, no more guilt, because friends, there is no condemnation for those in Christ. We don't have to walk around like a worm thinking we amount to nothing, because you're a child of God the moment you call upon the name of Jesus and are saved. Then he begins to restore you. He begins to fix you up again. From the devil mucking you around and causing you to become very dysfunctional, he begins to restore you to wholeness so you can walk a life of victory. He heals you of sicknesses and afflictions. He empowers you to be someone whose life matters in this world. See, God uses usually the foolish things of this world to confound the wise, that no man can glory in the flesh, but all will give the glory to the God of the impossible, the one who sees the potential even in someone in the gutter. And he says, that man I will raise up to be a mighty man of faith. Friends, today I want to tell you, you haven't missed it. Today you're right in the center of God's will, and today all you need to do is surrender that will to Jesus Christ. And he protects you. I tell you what, no devil in hell can touch you when you're walking with Jesus. And you know what? It's safer being in the middle of a war zone, living for Jesus, than even having a cup of coffee in Footscray. You know, a poor guy, and thank God he was a believer because he's in heaven, he was in Footscray having a cup of coffee and a car ran over him. How tragic. See, I tell you what, where God sends you, you know he's protecting you. Amen. Where God sends you, he's there with you. For the Lord thy God is with you wherever you go. But then what he does, he places you in the body of Christ for a plan and purpose that's going to impact many lives. And in 2007, believe it or not, your life of obedience, your life of encouraging other believers, your life of seeing lost sinners won to Jesus Christ will impact the whole body of Christ, because we're a team. We all need one another. Your role in the body of Christ is so important. It says in 1 Corinthians 12:18, but now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased. That's 1 Corinthians 12:18. And Ephesians 2:10 says this. Listen to me. For we are his workmanship. Isn't that great? The moment we give our life to Jesus, we are God's workmanship. That makes you special, doesn't it? God's workmanship. Created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. What's God's plan for you this year? You know, 16 years ago, I was a suicidal accountant, drunk on the steps of Flinders Street. I'd given up on life. I saw no future. I'd been on antidepressants because I'd got so low, I saw no way out. But then the hand of Jesus touched me and he set me free. And that same Jesus is here tonight to set the captives free, to set you free of the fears that have bound you up and caused the devil to run all over you. Tonight I want to tell you, today Jesus wants to set you free. The same Jesus that set me free 16 years ago, today is here to set you free. If you want to give your life to him. Amen. We cannot have one foot in the devil's camp and one foot in God's camp, because the devil will spit you out. But you give your life to Jesus, no devil in hell will touch you. Hallelujah. All to Jesus I surrender. See, our lives will have a great impact on many lives, either for the good or for the bad. I pray it's for the good. Amen. Our life is the greatest role model. The greatest witness is us walking in victory. And in a moment, I'm going to share 5 keys to walking in victory, even when the challenges of life try and come up against you. But we must, again, I emphasize, never try and be someone else. I'm going to get Peter from Mobile Maintenance. He's been in a missions maintenance ministry for 30-odd years, and he loves it. This is the work he's producing. Blessing the body of Christ. New lights, painting the walls. And he loves it, because God wired him up to be a man who loves serving the body of Christ. He who is greatest is a servant. So be yourself, then you'll be the most effective. Because we all have unique talents and gifts. And it's the little things like the 2 mites from the widow being donated. It's things like that God sees in secret. See, God is more worried about our hearts than what we do. And if we faithfully love one another, serve one another, encourage one another, using our gifts and abilities, one day you're going to hear from Jesus. Well done, my good and faithful servant. We're called to reign with Jesus. Who here this year would like to look back at the end of this year saying, my life counted, my life impacted many lives? And the Lord was speaking to me earlier in the year as saying, if this was your last year on this planet, that if you was to come back and rapture us out maybe in a year's time, would you want this life, this one year, to really matter? So I was thinking, it's so important that we plan for success. Because if we fail to plan, we plan for failure, don't we? If we have no vision in life, we end up often getting sidetracked. And I want to share 5 keys that'll help you stay on track, to help you look back at the end of the year saying, I believe, wow, look what the Lord has done in my life. The first thing we need is a vision. Who here has got a vision of God, what you're meant to be doing in life? Anyone here got a vision? Amen. That is where it begins. The Lord said to Habakkuk, write the vision and make it plain on tablets that he may run who reads it. See, when you've got a vision for life, when you're going through the tough times, maybe like you might be today, and you just think, boy, I can't wait for this day to end, you keep looking at the vision, and tomorrow's another day, and you keep on going. And I'll tell you what, God will one day have the breakthrough, no matter what pain you may be going through now, no matter what insurmountable situation you may seem faces you, God will conquer that situation if you simply never give up and keep your eyes on the vision that that God's placed in your heart. Because if you have a God-given vision, you will have challenges. You will have tribulations. The Bible says through many tribulations you enter the kingdom of God. Count it all joy when you suffer persecution. I tell you what, Paul and Silas were worshipping in the prison when their back had the cat o' nine tails, but they loved God. They had a vision to see the world one to Jesus. See, the fact is we need to realize there will be challenges. The greater the vision, sometimes the greater the opposition. But my God is a God that's in control of the world. And when we go through those tough times, believe it or not, mostly it's sometimes to see the character in our lives develop so we can be promoted to the next level. Trials produce patience. Trials cause us to cling to Jesus, and He knows the best way. And often when things are going well in life, we can forget a little about Jesus. We've got our own program, and when things start to get a bit rocky, that's when we always come back to Jesus. I encourage you, go all the way, seeking His ways every day so you don't deviate off track. See, when we have a vision, it empowers us to take action. When you've got a vision, you then prayerfully say, God, what's the next step? It's to be like, let the pastors know in India, which we are. I'm going there in April. Then I had, as I prayed, I had the itinerary. I've sent them the itinerary. And they're organizing the passport. Why? Because I've got a vision, and now I can plan for it, and I'm putting legs to what God's called me to do in life. See, you need to then act upon the vision. A vision with action will be powerful, and you'll see God moving. Secondly, so first of all, have a vision for why you're working. Have a vision of maybe I'm called to be the best mother, but have a vision that God gives you that every day you're encouraging someone. Every day you have a reason for getting up out of bed. See, the vision will cause you to succeed in life. And the Lord said, how often we've given up dreaming. Little kids dream about being a fireman or a policeman. Keep dreaming that God can do mighty things through your life, because God is God and He wants to use your life in a way that will touch the world in such an incredible way. The world will be won to Jesus. Secondly, and I'm going to go through these reasonably quickly. We need to keep our eyes on Jesus and not the cares and the distractions of this world. See, the Bible is full of promises for us and wisdom that will enable us to walk in victory, having a joy and a peace even in the midst of storms. But what happens is the negative influences in the world, the people that have rejected you all the life, the parents that don't know you're a new Christian, they still keep treating you the way you used to be. You're in the workplace and they persecute you. And sometimes we get crushed and we take our eyes off Jesus and we get very discouraged. I encourage you, keep your eyes on Jesus and what He says about your life, that you are more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus, that He only has plans to prosper you, being confident of this very thing, that He has begun a good work in you will complete it unto the day of Christ Jesus. When God's got things started, He will finish it in your life if we do not grow weary in doing good. See, Jesus mentioned in the parable about the sower. Now the ones, that's the seeds, this is an explanation of this category of people, that fell among the thorns are those who, when they have heard, that's the word of God, the wonderful promises in God, they go out and they are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of life and bring no fruit to maturity. You know, the devil just wants to rob this year from you. For some of you may have regrets for many years that you've wasted. Don't look back. Look up to what God has for you this day. Nothing that has ever happened in our life is ever wasted. The mistakes I did and the courses I did before I was a Christian, God now uses them to give wisdom and to encourage others. See, nothing, none of the mistakes even that you've made will not be somehow used by God. That is the awesome thing about God. He even uses our past failures to be a blessing to many, to see them rise up and walk in victory. Amen. So the thing is, the Lord said to Joshua, who reads the Word of God and really gets it from the head into the heart? That's the key. What did the Lord say to Joshua, the one of two spies who didn't see the giants in the land, but he said, we can take that land, and this is what you need to do in your own life. We can take that land. That ministry will be raised up. That family I've been praying for this year will come to pass. All those things you've been crying out for, I believe this is a year of blessing if we are willing and obedient. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, the Lord said, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do to all that is written it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you'll have good success. That's the key, meditating on the Word and being a doer of the Word, and you will be successful and prosperous this year as the Lord begins to unfold His plan for your life. And the last scripture in that part I like is the Apostle Paul said, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable, perfect will of God. We need to change the stinking thinking, amen, to thinking that's in line with God's Word, that I have a future, that my God can do all things through me because I live for Jesus Christ. Amen. So first of all, we need a vision. So if you haven't got a vision for this year, I encourage you, get on your knees and say, here I am, Lord, use me, send me. That's the first thing He wants, is an available heart that says, it's no longer I that live. Christ, this year, live in me. Thirdly, we need to overcome our fears. We've all failed in things. We've all been rejected in life. And often we bring up walls around our heart and we're afraid to step out again to do something because we've once failed. And I tell you what, sometimes it's harder getting up the second time when you've failed. But I tell you, get up, because you're never a failure until you fail and give up on life, because God is the God who just restores you and picks you up and continues you down that path of abundant life. No matter where you've slipped to today, you can come back and He's ready to continue that best plan for your life that'll lead to the abundant life He speaks about. The key, though, to overcoming fear, I believe, is in this scripture. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Because fear involves torment, but he who fears has not been made perfect in love. And the more you spend time with God, the more He heals your heart, the more He puts His compassion in your heart to love those that are unlovable. And as you spend time with Jesus, you begin to see others the way God sees them, because all of us have been hurt in life, all of us had challenges in life, and all the world is looking for is a touch of our love, that we can see the pain and brokenness in their life, even overlook sometimes their rudeness and say, brother, I see you're hurting. Can I put my hand out and give you a cup of coffee? See, the more you get of God in your heart, the more you can love the unlovables, and that is the abundant life that Jesus walked around, laying hands on the sick, giving a hope to those without hope. He was one who loved even on the cross as they persecuted Him. The very ones He was dying for, He simply said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Oh, God's love in our hearts will change the world, I tell you, my friends. And that's what the world's looking for. Not religion, not programs, but the love of Christ demonstrated in and through our lives. And when you spend time with the Lord, and I feel to really emphasize this point, we can't have that love and compassion if we have a 5-minute devotion once every couple of days. See, the more we hang around Jesus, the more we become like Jesus. And this is a scripture I love in Acts 4:13. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and they perceived they were uneducated and untrained men, just fishermen and all those type of oddbods, they marveled and they realized that they'd been with Jesus. Jesus had totally transformed them from a whole bunch of insipid men full of fear to men of faith that began to take the world for Jesus. See, it's not about us. It's about Him turning zeros into tens and a hundreds, because one Jesus partnering with you makes you special. He's the one who raises you up and causes your life to make an impact in those around. Apart from Him, I can do nothing. Oh, but with God, all things are possible. The last couple of points. We need to place our faith in God and not a man. Often we can look to man for encouragement. But like me, we're all human. We sometimes let one another down. We can look to men for provision, even for a ministry that's being raised up. But if you look to God, He will supply that need through people. But the fact is, we can even look at our own self-worth, even our own abilities, and forget that without God, we're really nothing. And our self-reliance, thinking we've got the abilities to do something in our own strength, are often the things that oppose God's very best plan for our life. And that's why He often uses the foolish people, but yet with a childlike faith, to stand up to preach to the multitudes, where you see drug addicts a couple of years later preaching with the anointing, signs and wonders following the Word of God, because that guy knew he had nothing, but he had Jesus. And that's all you need, my friends, Jesus Christ in your heart and life living through you. I can tell you, because I was lost. I'm preaching from experience. That no matter what I did when I was younger, I was still insecure on the outside, but my identity now comes in Jesus Christ. He loved me and He gave Himself for me. And I'm going to serve Jesus Christ to the day He takes me home to glory, because He will never leave nor forsake me. God is not looking for our abilities, simply our availability. And again, I encourage you, walk out of this place tonight and say, "Here I am, Lord. Use me. I surrender all." That's all He needs. And then God empowers us to do great, great and mighty things. We must simply be God-dependent. People of prayer. And I want to read a passage about the difference between putting your trust in man and putting it in God. Jeremiah 17, if you want that. 5 to 8, sorry. Cursed is the man. That's Jeremiah 17, 5 to 8. And I encourage you, meditate on this scripture, and it'll encourage you, believe me, to put your trust in God. Cursed is the man who trusts a man and makes flesh his strength, and that's your own abilities even, whose heart departs from the Lord, for he shall be like a shrub in the desert. And driving through northern Victoria, I tell you what, you don't get much growth on those drought-stricken lands. I tell you what, there's hardly a blade of grass. And shall not see when good comes, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness. And many of us have been in wilderness experiences because we've went away from God. And today God would simply say, "Come back to me. I love you. I still have that awesome plan for your life. Just follow me from this day on." And it says, in a salt land, which is not inhabited. Who wants to live in that parched land where there's nothing inhabited? But listen to this. Hallelujah. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, and whose hope, no matter what the circumstances in your life, whose hope is the Lord. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river, and will not fear when he comes. But its leaf will be green and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. Hallelujah. You'll prosper drought or no drought. That is the promise that God has for your word. And this, tell you what, God is the God of the impossible. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if He says you'll be blessed, if you put your trust in Him, you'll be blessed, rain or no rain. Thank God for the rain. But the key thing really is, the last point, to see God's plan for our life unfold. To be that man of faith, a man that probably had no prior credentials for greatness, but God came into his life and intervened. That Jesus so set that man free from his past fears that that man has to do one thing, and that is to lay down all of his life to Jesus. We must be committed to doing the will of God in 2007. See, we're in a time, I believe, of incredible changes. There'll be times now when God's going to all of a sudden raise you up and say, I want you to do this. It'll be something maybe you've never even thought about doing. You say, man, I'm not qualified, but I've got the one who'll qualify me on the inside of me. His name is Jesus. I'll step out by faith and do it. And then God begins to make it come to pass. Dreams of greatness will come to pass if you simply just do what Jesus tells you to do. We left Melbourne for Sydney last year, and we have seen God provide $16,000 supernaturally to meet our $500, $600 every week expenses. We put our trust in God. We've seen the prison in Parramatta open. 40 prisoners came to know Jesus Christ. Why? Because God opened the door, because one man was prepared to knock on that door and say, can I preach a message of hope to those who have given up on life? Hallelujah. I was one of them, so I can preach. I know what it's like to be in the gutter, but I know what it's like to live for Jesus. Hallelujah. That is all the world needs to know. The hope that we have because of Jesus. We must simply be radically obedient for God. It says in Isaiah 1:19, if you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. God is just looking for people this year that'll step out willingly by faith and trust God no matter what He has for your life. I can only encourage you. I've seen the faithfulness of God in this building. A month before our crew from MMM came to do the works, we had zip in the bank. Nothing for them to use. But God put on my heart to share a letter with someone from another church. And within a couple of days, all the things you're seeing here, the paint was provided by a pastor who said, I want to support your vision. But we had them booked in already by faith, and that is what faith is all about. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I encourage you, there's no greater joy and no greater thrill. Though I was sitting totally messed up with no friends in life, God had a plan for my life. But it was only when I put the past behind, the chain that kept spiraling me down into depression. I remember days I'd be driving around saying, oh God, if this hadn't happened, if God, this hadn't happened. And I felt like giving up on life. And then one day God said, get over it. Man, I have more for you. I have a plan. And I can tell you that even the things you've lost, God will retool those back to you. He'll restore what the cankerworm has stolen for your life. And part of going to Sydney is I'm seeing my daughter that for almost 10 years I hardly saw, and we're the best of mates having a cappuccino. It's like it's never been a pain in the past. God heals and He restores relationships. Oh, He's an awesome God. I encourage you, trust Him. Give all your life in 2007. Start being that man or woman that walks in the power and the authority that Jesus will give you. Couple of scriptures to finish off. If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Abundant life only comes when you wholeheartedly live for Jesus. And Jesus said, most assuredly I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground, that's we die to self, it remains alone, but if it dies, If you look for a cause greater than yourself, what happens? It produces much grain. And finally, the Apostle Paul said, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And if he was prepared to give himself for you, listen to me, how much does he want you to succeed the rest of your life that you may lead that abundant life? Jesus said, I have come that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly. But it begins with a decision to give your life to Jesus. Until you give your heart to Jesus Christ, the devil will have a field day. And all he wants to do is to take you to hell, because he knows the moment you give your life to Jesus, he's lost you and there's another one going to heaven. And if you've never made a decision to give your life to Jesus, why not today? Walk out of here knowing that if you were to die tonight, you're in glory in a place in a mansion forever. Because why? Jesus loved you so much, he left heaven for one reason, to seek and save the lost. Tonight, if you'd like to give your life to Jesus, David's there, Peter's there. But 16 years ago, I'd given up on life. But I walked up at Richmond to the front of that church and I gave my life to Jesus. Hallelujah. I walked out of that place free indeed, because he who the Son sets free is free indeed.